Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
Church, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If you are new with us, if you have not been with us for a few weeks, we've been in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John for a number of weeks. We have three more weeks after this Sunday, and then we go into a summer series where everybody just kind of does different things, and so it'll all be standalone this summer. We've found that when you live in a culture, this culture is no different than other affluent cultures. When you live in an affluent culture, there's a lot of mobility. People just leave and go places. And so that's one of the realities of where we are. And so because of that, it becomes really difficult to do any series of any length or any kind in the summer because it just doesn't work. And so this summer, after the next three sermons, we'll just be in some standalone passages, quite a bit in the Psalter and the Psalms. And so anyway, it's going to be a fun summer. Looking forward to it. But today, our task is 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verses 1 through 6. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Before I read our passage, would you take note in the passage, as we read this passage together, would you take note and would you see some of the same division that we've had the last couple of weeks? This is no different than what we've had in John's writings, in his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And it's important to note because there is no third way. There's two ways. And when we see this, in fact, if we were to go back to 1 John 2:18, you would see this idea of spirit, a false spirit and a false truth. If we went to 3:10, you would see children of God or children of the devil. That I got good emails about that. It was really helpful. Yeah, oh, you're saying children of the devil. I didn't. The Bible did. Super helpful, right? If we went to 3:10, you would see that there's this idea of walking in the way of love or walking in the way of hatred. And you would see, don't be surprised when the world hates you, right? Remember? And then even now in 1 John 3, in verse 24, just precedes 1 John chapter 4, you see here that he's given us the Spirit of God. And so this is the context that we find our reading in. And for those of you that like to get ahead, next week we'll finish out 1 John chapter 4. And just to let you know, we'll have about 12 verses. And in those 12 verses, there are 24 times in 12 verses that the word love is used. It's going to be quite a loving sermon, actually. And so it's helpful because if you want to know what it means to love, remember, culture has an idea about love. Oh, I just love like In-N-Out burgers. It's a little different than the love that we're going to talk about next week, right? It's a tad different. I really like my girlfriend that I've known for a few minutes, right? I just love her. I bet you do. I'm not sure that it's love, but I think you're into her. I really do. I think you like her a lot, right? You see it? It's different. And so so next week we'll finish out. For those of you that want to get ahead, we'll finish out what John says to us in chapter 4. This week, John chapter 4, beginning. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the reading of God's word. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Verse 4, little children, you are from God and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. And then our last verse for today, verse 6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and of error. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Christ, We thank you. What a powerful passage. If a person's in here today and they hurt so bad, that there's just a wound, a difficulty, a lament, this passage speaks. For those of us who are asleep and we need to be shaken by the message of the hope found in resurrected Jesus Christ. Oh God in heaven, may the Spirit that we've just sung about, the friend, may the friend be a friend and testify to the Christian, to the non-Christian who's in here. Oh God in heaven, would you open their eyes? They're in the world. They listen to the world. They think about the world. They're doing the things of the world. Until the Spirit intervenes through a prophet. Oh God in heaven, would you do this work, we pray. Give us from this text what you have for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, how many of you know what a cougar ant is? Does anybody know? Anybody know? A couple of you? I'm not asking if you own one, right? I mean, do you know what one is, right? I mean, if you raise your hand, it's fine. It's just, okay, seriously, okay, how many of you don't know what it is? Okay, that's interesting. Man, I'm scratching this illustration, but I need it today. I worked really hard for it. So a cougar ant is a South African gold piece. It's a South African gold coin. It has like a animal on the front of it, right? It was started to be minted in 1967. I'm going somewhere here, guys. I'm going somewhere. Like, don't start rolling your eyes yet. You can on the inside. Just don't do it on the outside. It hurts me too much because I'm staring at all of you. Yeah, so it's a South African gold piece. Now, why do I mention that? Well, when my papaw was, you know, cleaning out some of his stuff, he was pitching, you know, gold coins and pitching silver coins to his grandkids. And at the time, I didn't know that it was a big deal, right? It was awesome. It was really cool. And back then, they weren't near worth it they were today. And, you know, when things are important, you want to go buy a bicycle or something like that. You know, you go to the bank of dad and you say, hey, I want to get out some of those gold coins so I can go buy a bike or whatever the thing was. I think I needed to buy a Commodore 64 computer. I think it's exactly what it was. And listen, those computers were very nice. Okay, very nice. And so, I mean, and it was expensive, right? And so I took one of these coins in and I literally had it in my hand. And it was the most valuable thing I'd ever put in my hand at the time. I remember walking into a place called Dallas Gold and Silver. It's the place my dad chose. And I walked in, and the guy said, it's real. You can just go ahead and buy it. And I was like, oh, come on. How do you know it's real? And he said, hey, kid. Hey, little Timmy. I know what I'm talking about. I've done this my whole life, you know? And I actually even think he had like a cigarette hanging out of his mouth when he did this. I think that tells me that it was somewhere around, I don't know, 82 or something, right? And but seriously, he's just like, nah, it's real. I just thought, what? How do you know? And so he says, come over here. And then you know I'm about to be taught a lesson. That's when you know, okay? And he grabs the coin. He says, look at it. I know exactly how much it weighs. I was like, how much does it weigh? He said, in grams or in ounces. And then, of course, I'm a smart aleck. Both. He's like, it's 1.09 ounces. That's how much it weighs. In grams, it's 33.9 grams. And I remember thinking, seriously? He puts it on a scale, works it through. That's what it weighed. And I said, okay, what else? And he said, if I put white vinegar on it, it's not going to change at all. If it's a fake, it'll immediately discolor. It'll turn black. I was like, and then in my heart, I'm like, oh, no. I really hope this thing, I mean, I need this Commodore 64. It's a big deal. He's going through all of these tests. He's like, this is how big it is. If it's made of aluminum, it's not going to float. And if it's made of steel, it's going to be magnetized. It's copper. It's 73% gold. It's 93% gold. It's 7% copper. That's why it looks the way that it does. And I mean, listen, you're already exhausted by this. I know. Listen, he kept going. Aren't you glad you weren't there with me? And he just kept going and going and going. And he pulls out a glass of water. He pulls out white vinegar. He pulls out these other things. He pulls out this little balancing thing. He says, look, see, it's exactly the way that it should be. Pulled out a scale. And I just literally kept thinking, the amount of tests that he goes through. But he knew the second I walked into the store. As soon as I walked into the store, he's like, it's real. I think he called the guy Frank. Hey, Frank, it's real. Go ahead and just buy it. He just kept, you know, working with another customer. I'm like, this guy's amazing. In fact, it made me want to come back with some fakes. And you're like, hey, Frank, he said it's good. He said it's good. This is fine. This one's good. Yeah, it's made of steel, but it's fine. It's fine, right? Now, why do I mention this? Like, why am I going through all these tests? Like, do I want to make this room pneumatistic, right? Do we want to be coin collectors in here? No, we're talking about a test. We have tests for everything. We have a ton of tests. If you're an engineer in here, there's structural tests. There's tests on loads and bearing and all those things. I mean, I just had one of our members work on my lower back, and he's like, do this, bend this way, do this. And I'm like, this cannot possibly be a real test. But he seemed to think it was. He's in the room, so I want to be a little bit gentle with him. Because he was not with me that day. But no, we have tests for everything. We really do. We have a test here in the scriptures. There is a test that's given here in the scriptures. And it's important because it's very, very simple. It's an unbelievably simple test. And you might say, it's too simple. It's like, actually, I think the best tests are the simple tests. Like, if you know a test is going to last for a long time, it's a pretty simple test. My kids love to watch these videos on things like, will it blend? Have you ever seen these? Like, you put, like, valuable things in a blender and says, will it blend? And, like, they put a brick in there and it doesn't blend. I know it sounds destructive, but it's absolutely fantastic to watch. And for the record, a brand new iPhone blends like that. No, it does. It's amazing. It really is. It's a test. And then they have tests. Will it float? Right? That's a pretty fun test. Well, in this passage, we have a very clear test. Now, from a couple of weeks ago, to do a proper test, you have to test it as an affirmation and then as a denial. This is why throughout church history, it's been so helpful because they will affirm certain things about Jesus, and then throughout church history, they will deny certain things about Jesus. It's a creedal system. And for the record, we're creedal, right? We're a non-denominational church. We're a creedal church. Well, then what keeps us together? The creed, what we say about Jesus, what we say about the Trinity, that's what keeps us together. Well, I thought we were Baptists. We do Baptist things. I thought we were Presbyterian. We do Presbyterian things. I thought that you guys were AG. We do some Spirit-related things. No, we're creedal. It's important. And so it's why we affirm. It's why we deny certain things about the Scriptures. The Scriptures teach us to do this. This passage does that. Now, if we get to verse 1 again, notice that the context of 1 John 3:24 is the Spirit that you're given. So we'll go with that context. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test. Some of your translations will say try. Try a spirit, which is interesting because that's what my kids do with green Skittles. Hey, try this, right? They're not telling me to test it. They're telling me to try it. Now, if they have like the really gross jelly beans, that I'll try and test, right? There's some flavors that are unbecoming to Christian children. And I eat all of them. It says this, spirit, but test, notice the plural, the spirits, to see whether they are from God. Pause. Okay, what can we conclude from this already? That there are many spirits, and some are not from God. This is critical. So if you're in here today and you go, oh, come on, there's just blank, and then there's like angels, and then there's God. It's like, no, friend. That's not true. There are spirits, that is to say, we don't see them. They're not flesh and blood, and they are not from God. This is a critical distinction, a distinction that needs to be brought out here in our text. Now, for many false prophets have gone into the world. Now, what you see here, and what I wrote in my notes, is that every person who speaks from a spirit, the spirit of something. And there's only two, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Antichrist. But what if it sounds really loving? Well, is it loving like the Bible defines love? Or is it loving like culture defines love? That will determine what type of love we're talking about. And then from that, every spirit emanates from where? Either the devil or God. Now, I know what you're going to say. Oh, come on. It can't possibly be that simple. Oh, no. I have an illustration when we get to verse 5 to try to communicate how simple I think this is. The best tests are the ones that are very simple. Now, we see already that behind every prophet, behind every priest, behind every friend, colleague, behind every person speaking is a spirit. Behind every spirit is one of two things, the spirit of Christ or the spirit of Antichrist, emanating from the Father or emanating from the devil? Hey, if you're a first-time guest, welcome to Lighthouse Church. I'm so glad you're here. Like, we work so hard to keep us really small while we before we build this building. And man, nothing does that better than this. In fact, just to prove my point, we had a family worship weekend just a couple of weeks ago, and it was awesome. The subject, the Antichrist. You don't think I'm trying to shrink this church? Come on, guys. Come on. Yeah. Nope. We're just faithfully preaching through the text. And as we get to the text, we have to faithfully communicate what the text communicates. I would love to preach a series that is so inert, that is so milquetoast, that doesn't offend any of you. But unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to use the Bible. And verse 2. By this, you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That's the positive. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came in the flesh. That is from God. Now listen, I'm going to test you here. You ready? So let's just say I'm fly fishing in the woods. Daniel just got back from Mountain Home, fly fishing. Let's just say I'm fly fishing in the Six Rivers area, just North California, you know, just as you get to, you know, south of Oregon, the Six Rivers area. And I'm there on next to a tributary, and all of a sudden, a massive biped, which means bipedal, means standing, land mammal, enormous, all of a sudden is walking through the woods and then turns and looks at me. You got to hear me. And then kind of gives me one of those looks, and I look at him, and then he says, hey man, you know what I'm going to ask? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Because then I'll know he's from God. But if he says, no, I don't care about that at all, then that test tells me, you got to hear me. You're going to think, oh, come on, this is crazy. Oh no, I have crazier illustrations. Listen, this test works for every possible scenario in our experience. It either does or it doesn't. This test, so listen, if I was to shake my fist at God, how dare you give me this circumstance? He is either abounding in steadfast love. I could just be a total train wreck and shake my fist at him, and he is either a loving God who sent his son Jesus Christ for me, or he's not. The Bible says that he is. When the Bible gives you an exclusive test, then we take it to even to the extremes. Now, that's from the positive, verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, it is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming in and now is in the world already. Now, if you listen to this and think, oh man, gosh, that's so heavy. It is. It is heavy. In fact, go back through our sermon archive and see the progression as it relates to the Antichrist. We've preached on this quite a bit with children present. It's been wonderful. And so, yes, go back and see the progression of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John as we talk about this idea of the spirit of Antichrist. Now, verse 4. Now, oh, this is so important. Now, why in 2 John, did John, this is from last week, friends, why did in 2 John he say, do not welcome those that don't talk about Jesus coming into the earth with the incarnation? He tells this lady, remember? The elect lady, I bring you greetings. Why did he tell her that? It seems so weird. Why don't be hospitable? Why don't bring this person into your house? Well, we have the answer today in 1 John 4. Why? What's the answer? Because people that do not teach this way, people that deny that Jesus was sent by God, born of a virgin for us, if they do not affirm that, they are from the Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And it's significant. Now listen, I know in today's world, everything is so divisive. Everything is so divisive. I mean, it's every channel you watch, every political pundit you listen to, everything is just unbelievably divisive. And listen, we work really hard to be as broad ecumenically as possible. That is to say, just as it relates to the church, as it relates to believers and belief, we try to be so ecumenical, so broad. We have so many folks that believe on this end of what it means to speak in tongues versus this end, or what it means to baptize, you know, right, this or this way, or what it means to believe the scriptures this or this. We have a very broad collection of folks. We have folks that if you say, hey, we have some theology we've brought in from Presbyterians, we've got some Baptists that'll lose their minds. We have some Baptists that'll lose their minds if we bring in some of the Methodists, some of the things that we bring in there. And in fact, that's why we are going to preach the series we will this fall, just to bring clarity to in what way is Lighthouse Church Presbyterian? In what way is Lighthouse Church Methodist? In what way is Lighthouse Church, right, post-Reformation here? It's going to be really important because we are such a broad grouping of folks. Now, we try really hard to be exclusive or inclusive in that way. We cannot be inclusive as it relates to the incarnation. We have to rightly divide as it relates to the incarnation. If somebody says, hey, I was born Catholic, man, can I come? I was like, what do you say about Jesus? I was born pagan, they let me in. No, I'm serious. Well, yeah, but I'm so-and-so's Methodist. What do you say about Jesus and the incarnation? Hey, I'm from the Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. Like, okay, fine. We have some more theology to work through here. But what do you say about Jesus? Is he a brother of another guy cosmically? Or is he sent by God through virgin birth for humanity? Do you see how we can be so inclusive on gifting and this gift or that gift or the expression of this gift or worship this or worship that? Do we use pews or chairs or really uncomfortable plastic chairs? Right, they're so like that's not even, we don't even have the option for comfy chairs or comfy benches. No, we just have terrible plastic chairs. See? We just avoided that worship war altogether. Super helpful, isn't it? All you have to do is be broke and you can avoid so many problems. You know? It's pretty great. No, it's pretty great. It's amazing. Now, if you will, if you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. If you don't have a Bible, I'll just read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those that labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of the work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Do you see it? So there's this beautiful, it's a beautiful passage, super encouraging. Look, rejoice, people. Help the weak. Be with the faint-hearted. We love that. And all of a sudden, it's like, test everything. See if it's from the devil. See if it's from good. See if it's from God. Do you see it? In this passage, you have like all this unbelievable, inclusive language. And then it just comes down like a hatchet. Boom. But test everything. Don't assume that just because somebody got a dream or somebody had a prophecy or somebody has a something else, whatever the other thing is, don't assume that it's from God. We test it. I can't tell you how many times people come into it. I had this really amazing dream, unbelievable dream. I had this big spiritual experience. I was like, great, let's test it to see who it was from. And they're like, what do you mean? It has to be from God. It's like, you're crazy. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It could absolutely come from something spiritual. Doesn't have to be necessarily from God. Critical that we do this. Critical that we do. I mean, it might be that just like the guy with the bullion, that I come in and he goes, hey, that looks pretty close, but bring it here. You see what he would have done? He'd say, it looks pretty close, but hey, bring it here. It might have failed one of the tests. And here, today, in this passage, the test is that Jesus was sent by God in the flesh. In the flesh. This is why we celebrate resurrection. In the flesh. It's critical. This is why we care about our bodies, because God cares about bodies. It's critical. Now, some of us have gifting here. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, and if you don't want to get there fast, I'll just read it. Some of us have giftings in this place. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God has ever said Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." That is to say, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the sent one. Jesus, right? In fact, I had a tour guide in my home a few nights ago. And I just said, "Hey, Jesus the Messiah?" And he said, "You know I cannot say that." And I said, "Okay, all right. I mean, we can baptize you in the community pool right now. Right now." And he always looks at me like, "Oh, I can't believe you'd say that." And I was like, "Look, I'm just testing. I just want to see if you're now saved." Right? I know you know everything about first century Christianity. But, I mean, even the way that, it literally can't come from his mouth. He's not the Messiah. He knows what I'm asking. He's like, "You know, not in front of your children." And I was like, "Let's do this in front of the children." You ready? Huh? I want the kids to see spiritual warfare, right? I mean, I want my church to be a part of Antichrist, right? Now, verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And these are the varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everything. Verse 7 of chapter 12, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We just prayed for Ben to be given spiritual gifts for the common good of this body. That's literally what Steve just prayed. Like, "Oh God in heaven, would you give him gifts for the body?" Not so that he can go make a bunch of money somewhere else. I mean, that's great if he does. But no, it's for the body. It's for the use in the body. It's a part of the membership. For to one is given through the Spirit of the utterance of wisdom, and the other the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. For another, faith by the same Spirit. And another, gifts of healing by one of the Spirit. In fact, literally this morning, very early, I'm praying for you, praying for what the day might look like. And I'm telling you, I just got a sense so powerfully that the Lord today, was going to heal. I don't know what that means. I don't know where that came from. I do believe very clearly that it came from the Lord. But I'm telling you, I've even told folks, "Hey, be ready to pray for folks after the service, because I believe today is a day of healing." To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Isn't that interesting? Now, is that you know, "Hey, this spirit here. Well, you know what? It's at least, is the testimony of this person, is the statements of this person, of the spirit of Antichrist, or is this person from Christ? This becomes so clear. Why? Because in verse 5, we see that they are from the world. They're from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Do you see this feedback loop? In fact, the saddest things that happens to me is when a believer calls me up, or a believer swings by or whatever, and they say, "Man, I'm just overcome by the world." And I was like, "Well, talk to me about it." "Well, I got this counsel." I was like, "That sounds like worldly counsel." "Well, I got this counsel, and so I'm doing this." "That sounds like bad idea." He's like, "Why? Why do you say that?" I was like, "Because it does not sound like Jesus. It does not sound like his word. And it does not sound like resurrection power from God. It just sounds like some really bad counsel. Like, hey, let's make sure everything is safe." Do you know how unsafe Christianity is? My life probably could have been super easy apart from Christianity. It was never promised safety. Like, I mean, you know how much easier my life would be if I weren't married? I love my wife. But I could, sit on a couch and just eat whatever I want, watch whatever I want, and just be like a blah. Like, apart from my amazing wife, I would just be on a couch. Blah. Like, it's the only, I was going to say Jabba the Hutt, but that seemed too big, you know? I'm serious. The sanctification I have been given through my wife is, I don't even have words to describe it. I both really like her for it and other. It's been amazing. Seriously, it's been amazing. but it's not safe. You know how many times she hurts my feelings? This morning? Like, I'm walking out the door. She's like, I think that shirt's too wrinkled. I'm like, seriously? Sir, are we doing this right now? Seriously? How many times have you worn those shoes? Like, I mean, it's just, you have no idea. She's sanctifying me. And I love her for it. It's not safe, though. It's not safe. Church is not safe. Church is not safe. I was with some soon-to-be members. And he's like, I was like, hey, man, I want to get you a membership class. I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to it, too. I'm like, yeah, but we don't have a membership class until the fall and, you know, that kind of thing. And he's like, oh, gosh, man, you're not going to ask me to give money, to serve of my time, to do all these things before membership? And I was like, you know what? You're right. Your finances are not safe loving Jesus in a church. They're not. Your free time is not safe in a church. It's just not. Why? Because when your heart is changed, those things just fly out of your pockets. Free time, finances, just flies out of your pockets. Why? Because of the love of God. That's different than the world. What does the world say? Hoard it, keep it, be safe, protect yourself. It's like, protect yourself? I'm not even sure these churches are rated for my size. Seriously, like, it's unsafe. The world listens to the world. Verse 5, they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. And I'm so sad when Christians get stuck in the world. They have to be awoken out of just this system. It's awful. My heart breaks for them. Verse 6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Listens to who? The apostles' teaching. Remember, this is, you've got to remember who's writing this. This is John writing this. So this isn't Jason Holloman writing this, right? This is John writing this. And so what does he say? We, John, are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, listens to the apostles' teachings, listens to the teachings that the apostles recorded under the inspiration of the Spirit about Jesus. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In fact, pagans are just going to listen to the world until truth is spoken. Asleep Christians are going to continue to just be tossed and turned, as James says, by the world until the Spirit of God pierces through that and they find buoyancy. That might be you in here today. I don't know. It might be you. You might be just wanting to take a spiritual breath, having felt underwater of the world. And I'm just saying, fine. By the Spirit's power, breach the water and deeply breathe in truth, which is what? That Jesus Christ was sent by God for you. Remember that. Rejoice in that. It's amazing. It cuts through all the worldly best practices, baloney. It does. It just pushes and cuts through all of that, because that's what it is. It's errant, foolish thinking. By this, by what? By the Spirit's work, we know the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. Now, Daniel, as you and Drew come up, as we transition our time into some application, as we enter our time of the Lord's Supper, I want for so many of us in this moment to ask a diagnostic question. And it really is a diagnostic question. Like, do we believe that this test is the type of test? Do we believe this test is the type of test that really is, as broadly as possible, the right test? Now, again, I even hesitate to give the illustration because, like, none of us really thought through the Bigfoot illustration. But I'm going to keep going one step further. I mean, I could be driving through Roswell, New Mexico. See where I'm going? See where I'm going? All you guys that study history? I could be driving through Roswell, New Mexico with my family and a beautiful, metallic, alien craft land right in front of my car. Put my car in park, get out of the car. I'd look at them kind of funny. They come down this little thing, lots of smoke as I envision it. Little green man comes down. And all of a sudden, he like looks at me, I look at him, and all of a sudden, he's just like, well, hello, earthling. You know the first question I'm going to ask? Well, first is, are you going to abduct me? But the second question I'm going to ask him is, I'm going to say this. Hey, What do you say about Jesus Christ being sent by God? Amen. You got to hear me, friends. You might think of me like, come on, Holloman. You don't believe that. Test me. I mean, I don't know how you would do that, but test me. Seriously. I absolutely would. Anything that's mysterious or weird. In fact, there was a fellow that I spent time with in high school. And he was doing all these kind of magic tricks. I mean, I'm talking scary stuff. I could tell you his name. I could tell you where we were. I could tell you where he lived. I could tell you all the books that he wrote about deception. He worked for the FBI. I have all of his volumes. He's with the Lord now. And I remember going to him later and be like, man, I don't even know what to think about this. And I was like, hey, man, are you a Christian? Now, I didn't understand the Jesus Christ being sent by God at this point. And I remember asking him, are you a Christian? He's like, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm deceiving you. And I said, okay. Because, man, I fully expected him to say, you know what? The devil's my father. I fully expected him to say that and be like, man, I knew it. Got to get out of that church, right? The test of Christ always works because he has always existed. He will always exist. It is the plan of God for that to be introduced to us. If you don't believe that, test it. Test it. So yes, I would say to a little green man or silver man coming down Roswell, New Mexico, and I'd say, are you from God or from the devil? And if he says, we're from God, we'll leave you alone. And they, you know, we believe in Jesus. Now, I would tell all of you the next day. But the test works. The test works. Now, I'm going to get at least two emails about fourth dimensional objects and odd happenings in Roswell and the Six Rivers area of Northern California. Fine, fine. But if it puts you back in the text to see the affirmation and the denial of this test of if someone is from God or the Antichrist, it's worked. That's what I wanted. I don't want you to remember little green men and biped land mammals. I want you to remember that this is good for the Christian. Now, and for the person in here today who is just tossed and turned by the world, may you breach the world. Breathe deeply in that Christ has sent his son for you. It's amazing. It changes everything. It changes everything. Nothing is the same when you realize that you cannot strive for God. Doesn't work. He sends his son for us. It's the upside down world. It's completely different. Let's pray together as we enter our time of the Lord's Supper. Father, in the name of Jesus, why do we every week receive the Lord's Supper? Because every week we want to center our hearts around the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. What hope do we have for our joy apart from the joy found in Christ? What hope do we possibly have for our marriages, our families, our neighborhoods, our country, apart from the person of Jesus Christ? And so we center our hearts around the greatest event in human history, the crucifixion. Church, on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he takes the bread with his disciples and he says to them, this is my body broken for you. Church, let us remember, take and eat. And in like manner, he takes the cup and after blessing it, he took it and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Why new? Why is it new? Because it's not old. It's not original. It's new because all they would have known is to slaughter animals. That's all they would have known. The new covenant says that a single sacrifice was given, the person of Jesus Christ. Single sacrifice. So the church today remembers his sacrifice. Church, let us remember. Father, in the name of Christ, We ask that your Spirit move in power. We thank you that you are God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Oh, blessed three in one. Where's Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. Where is the Spirit? Oh, friends, the Spirit is at work even now in lives of non-believers, wounded believers, asleep believers. Oh, God in heaven, would you renew all of us by your presence, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.